Well, good morning again. My name's Keith, one of the leaders around here. And would you all stand up? We're in the middle of a series on the Lord's Prayer right now. And so we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together because we figure we shouldn't just talk about this prayer. We should probably be praying it together. So go to the next slide so we're all saying the same version. I'm not sure that these are no these and thous. And so just here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus, thank you for teaching us this prayer. Help us model our lives and our prayer life after you and what you've taught us. As you come today and you bless this message, you speak through your scriptures this morning, and you'd have your way. In your name, Jesus. Amen. And you can sit down. As I said, my name's Keith, and we are going through a six-week series on the Lord's Prayer. Now, we see kind of six movements or six topics found in this prayer, kind of referenced by this hexagon. Hexagon is six sides, right? Yes, is that the right? Okay, good, good. But it's hexagon. Jesus taught us how to pray. Now, the first week, David Hipskin walked us through this, and he talked about how God is our Father, how God's our Father. And then last week, the second week of the series, we actually jumped over, Kevin preached, and he preached on the third topic of the prayer, which is on the Father's provision, there in the bottom right. Now we're going back to the second topic, which is on God's kingdom. You see, I was out of town the last two weekends, but I really, really wanted to preach on the kingdom of God. And so we went out of order a little bit on this series, so I apologize to all you linear rule-following folks, but I just really wanted to preach on this topic, because I think it's probably the most important topic in all of Scripture. I really do. I believe this is probably the most important topic. You can maybe make an argument, is it covenant or is it kingdom? But I think together, it's probably the most important topic in all of the Bible. Look, if someone were to ask you, what is the gospel of Jesus all about? What is the good news of Jesus all about? What would you say? And it sounds like a simple question, right? What's the good news of Jesus all about? But I can tell you from experience, most people in most churches would not give the same answer that the Bible does. We actually see that Jesus, he's pretty clear what the good news message is all about. In fact, in the very first chapter of Mark's gospel, we see that the good news of Jesus is summarized. It says this in Mark 1:14. After John was put in prison, John the Baptist, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. That phrase, good news, can be translated to gospel. So here is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus, the good news of God. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. That's good news. Our response? Repent and believe the good news. So Jesus starts off by saying the gospel is that the kingdom of God is near. And then Jesus chooses 12 disciples. They go out and do ministry together. And here is their strategy in Luke chapter 8. After this, Jesus travels from town to town, to village, proclaiming the good news, the kingdom of God. So Jesus goes around from town to town saying, here's the good news, and that's God's kingdom is coming. God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is near. We even see that when Jesus did miracles, it was meant to point to the kingdom of God. He says this in Matthew chapter 12. But I drive out demons by the Spirit of God. And then, as I drive out demons in the name of the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God's come upon you. You see that? Jesus will later send his disciples out two by two to do their own ministry, to practice this ministry. And this is what he says. When Jesus has called the 12 together, he gave them power. He gave them authority. Where does power and authority come from? It comes from leaders and from rulers. It comes from a kingdom. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach about the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. You see, his entire earthly ministry was about this primary teaching of God's kingdom. And then he's arrested. And then he's crucified. And he dies. He's put into a tomb. But then he conquers death. He's resurrected. Then he shows up to his disciples after the resurrection. And he speaks to them about one topic. Acts 1:3. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about what? The kingdom of God. Then we see the last glimpse we have of the early church. The last verse in the last chapter of the book of Acts. It says this about the Apostle Paul. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God. So if you're going to try to boil down what Jesus' gospel message is all about into one phrase, it would simply be that God's kingdom, God's reign, God's rule is now available. It's broken in, it's here. His good reign, his perfect reign of the king is here. This kingdom is here right now. It's good news. But to be candid, I'll be honest with you. This idea that God's kingdom, God's perfect reign and rule is here right now. This idea that the way life has intended to be of God fully reigning as king is here. Have you looked around lately? Have you looked at the world? I mean, things don't really seem like God is fully reigning and his perfect will is fully here yet, does it? In fact, things seem in our world pretty messed up. Am I the only one who thinks that? I mean, and if the good news of Jesus is that his kingdom is here, and that he has the ability to transform our world as the Bible describes his kingdom, then why does the world seem so broken? Why do 9 Jesus-believing people get shot in South Carolina because of their skin color? I mean, they're in a church meeting studying the Bible, and they're murdered for their skin color. Where's God's kingdom in that? Where's God's perfect reign and rule in that? And there seems to be some tension for me now. I mean, I read the good news that Jesus is king, God's kingdom's here. Woo! Right now, then I look at the world and I see all the hurt and I see the brokenness and I say, God, where's your kingdom? That tension comes front and center in the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? When Jesus teaches us to pray, God, may your kingdom come. God, may your will be done here on earth as it already is in heaven. May your kingdom come and your will be done here, right here in South Bend, in this world, in South Carolina, as it already is in heaven. In other words, Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God, it's here, but it's not yet here. And so we're to pray, God, would your kingdom continue to come? Would your rule continue to come here on earth as it already is in heaven? And so when Jesus teaches us to pray this, he's really saying something pretty important. He's saying that there are actually 2 kingdoms. And these 2 kingdoms are at war on earth right now. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There's the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of death and the kingdom of life. There's lies and there's truth. There's sin and there's holiness. There's disobedience and there's obedience. And there's 2 kings and 2 kingdoms at war. There's a kingdom where sin and Satan and demons are at work. And in 3 weeks, when I talk about deliver us from the evil one, we're going to talk about that. But this prayer also acknowledges that then there's God the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, our Father God is also a king. And he's got a kingdom too. And in that kingdom, all races are reconciled. And in that kingdom, there's peace. And in that kingdom, the oppressed get justice. And the hungry get fed. And the marginalized get respected. And the sick get healed. And people are reconciled back to their Father and back to their king. And because we love our Father God, and because we're citizens of his kingdom, and we want to see his kingdom show up here on earth as it already is in heaven, we work for that, and we pray for that. We pray, God, our Father, God, our King, would your kingdom continue to come? We want your will done here today as it already is in heaven. And so for us, as believers here, sitting in South Bend in this time period, we're kind of caught in the middle, aren't we? We're kind of caught in the middle. In theological terms, this is usually referred to as the already, not yet of God's kingdom. The already, not yet of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is already here. That's the good news we already looked at. Jesus preached that good news and he demonstrated that good news. Kingdom's already here. God's kingdom is not yet fully here. So we pray, God, would your kingdom come? Already, not yet. We're living after Jesus conquered the grave, right? Jesus conquers the grave. At the cross of Christ, he conquers sin, the resurrection. He comes back to life. So there's victory. There's power. It means that God's work can be active in our lives because he's resurrected from the dead. There's the active work in our lives, his reign, his rule, his kingdom as described in the Bible in very real and very practical ways is here right now, powerful. Amen. Which means that there will be healing and salvation and restoration available right now here on earth because God's kingdom is here. Yet the Bible also states he has to come back again before everything is set right. Have you noticed that? The resurrection happens, amazing things happen in the Bible, they still are continuing, but then somehow he's got to return to set things right one more time. Until he returns, things won't be set fully perfect. Until he returns, his kingdom isn't fully here. Which leads to a very real dilemma, a very real tension for those of us who long for God's kingdom. Those of us who long for God to move in very real ways, in very powerful ways, yet we still live in a fallen, broken, messed up world. And by the way, we see this tension throughout the entire Bible, and especially the New Testament when God's kingdom really breaks in. For example, Acts chapter 12. This chapter blows my mind because Peter's in jail and James is in jail. Both are in jail for their faith, okay? Both Peter and James are in jail because of their faith. Peter is delivered by an angel. The kingdom of God is near. James, a faithful follower of Jesus, gets his head cut off. What? The kingdom of God is not yet fully here. And it won't be fully here until Christ returns once more in the future to set things right. This is all over Scripture. I want us to really, we got to understand this. More examples. We know according to 1 Peter and Matthew 8 that we know that Christ has already purchased our healing. Our healing has been purchased. Although according to Romans 8, we still groan with sickness. We have been healed. We are still sick. 1 John, we have passed from death to life. We have passed from death to life. 1 Corinthians, we still die. Ephesians 1, every blessing, every single blessing of the age to come is already ours in Christ. That's a cool promise, right? Romans 8. God tells us to wait for our inheritance patiently. There's very real tension. God's kingdom is here. Jesus says in Matthew 12, the kingdom of God has already arrived among you. In 1 Corinthians, after that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father. In other words, the kingdom of God is both here, it's not yet fully here. This is commonly referred to as the already not yet of the kingdom of God, which is why followers of Christ are told to pray, God, we want more of your kingdom, right? We want more of his kingdom, of his reign and of his rule where salvation and healing and repairing relationships happen. So we're to pray, God, would your kingdom come? God, would your will be done? And this then gives lots of explanation around our world, doesn't it? Can you see how this gives perspective? How this is a critical worldview for us as followers of Christ to have? I mean, sometimes we will be praying and we'll see miraculous things happen. We'll pray for healing, and boom, there's healing. You're like, yeah, woo! And other times there's tragedy, and there's suffering. You pray, and it seems like nothing happens. You're like, what? See, God's kingdom's here. God's kingdom is not yet fully here, so we're to pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. We're to pray that God's kingdom would continue to break into our world today. This explains, by the way, why bad things happen to faithful folks. It explains that. Until the second coming of Jesus, the reality is that we live in this in-between where God's kingdom is here, so amazing miracles and things still do happen. We see it all over the Bible. We see it all over the world today. Yet God's kingdom is not yet, it's not yet fully here. There's still another kingdom opposing God's kingdom. Sometimes we will experience hardship and sickness and persecution. Now there will be one day when there will only be one kingdom, right? Which will be God's kingdom. And when that happens, we're going to experience God's kingdom in all of its fullness. And the question then, of course, is, well, how is this going to happen? How will the kingdom of God then come? How will this fallen earth be set right once and for all? And so the question of, well, how will God's kingdom happen? People have just been discussing this and trying to do this and figure this out for 2,000 years. Since Jesus. You know, maybe if we try hard enough, we can make it happen, right? But people have been trying hard by human power for a long time. Revolutions come, revolutions go, but people still go on hating each other and hurting each other. War still breaks out. The human heart, last time I checked, is still cold as a stone. Well, maybe if we just get clever enough about economic policy, if we can just get clever enough about economic growth, then no one will be without. That hasn't happened yet, has it? Maybe it's a political thing. People even in the church think, maybe if we just get our guy elected, right? If we just get our guy in the White House. So far, we've not seen the kingdom of God arrive on Air Force One. Have we? Have you? Democrat, Republican? I've not seen it happen yet. So then, how will the kingdom of God that we so desperately desire, how will it come here on earth? It's amazing. I don't understand this in a practical sense, but it starts with prayer. It does. It starts with us praying, God, bring your kingdom. Bring your kingdom where your will is fully realized, where people love God, and where people are freed from their sin. That's the kingdom, and it starts with prayer. I don't know how to put it more simply, that you and I must be kingdom prayers. We got to take prayer seriously, folks. That we're communicating with the King in the heavenly realms. We're taking it very seriously to pray, King, would you come more? And I know there's times, maybe it's just me. There are times I wonder, does my prayer really make a difference? Am I the only one who's ever wondered that? Am I just like, Keith, you're not going to be our pastor ever again that you said this? Like, I sometimes wonder, like, does my prayer really matter? Jesus taught us to pray. The kingdom. The kingdom is the only hope the world has, so we're to pray for it. It's what we long for. We're to pray, God, bring your kingdom. He's asking us to be kingdom prayers. That's what Jesus teaches disciples. He's asked by the disciples, how should we pray? The context of the Lord's Prayer is the disciples come to Jesus and say, how should we pray? And Jesus teaches them the Lord's Prayer. It starts off by saying, God is your Father. That's the first part. He's our dad. He's a good dad. He wants to give us good things. He's a good dad, good things. We've got to remember that first point. He's a loving dad. You can interrupt him. He's okay with that. You can make requests of him. He's okay with that. He hears prayers. He answers prayers. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes later, but he's a loving father. And then the prayer goes on right away. I know we preach this out of order, but the prayer, the way Jesus taught it, is important. We see that then our dad is also our king. Our dad is also the king. So we're to pray that his kingdom and his will would come here on earth as it already is in heaven. The original language of the Bible, it literally reads, let your will happen. Let your will happen should be the prayer we have before. I'm sorry we preached out of order. But let your will happen comes before give us our daily bread. God's will be done comes before give us. Which, by the way, does show the purpose of prayer isn't just trying to change God's will to fit what we want. But rather, it's God's will, his plan, his kingdom should come before we start asking, we start trying to change his will. In other words, Jesus teaches us to pray. This is important, that before we ask for anything, that we submit our hearts and we submit our will to his. I mean, most people, we pray like, God, here's what I want you to do, right? God, I got a list for you, right? God, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. And it's not a sin to make a request from God. Please don't hear me wrong. But primarily, prayer is not about making God do something. We got to get this. Prayer is primarily about getting to know God and yielding to his will. And so we pray, God, let your will happen. And by the way, that's a radical prayer. I don't know if you know this. Like, it sounds so nice. May your kingdom come and your will be done on here as it is in heaven. Yeah, it sounds nice. That, woo, it's a radical prayer. John Wesley, preacher in our early country, he had this prayer he used to pray all the time. It's just another version of let thy will be done. It's just let thy will be done. This is his prayer, though. He used to always pray this. I am no longer my own, but I am God's. I am thine. Put me to whatever you want. Rank me with whoever you want. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure, God, and to your disposal. Amen. I mean, if we would take this prayer at face value, let your will be done, God, have your way. It's a bold prayer, isn't it? It's also very countercultural. It's very, very countercultural. I don't think we even see this because we're so used to our culture. But when our culture says, pursue the good life, Keith, right? You deserve the good life. You deserve to have control over your own life. Keith, rugged individualism, pick up your bootstraps. Keith, get it done. You, Keith, you can make this happen. Keith, it's all about what you want. If you want it, you can get it. You visualize it. You go get it. You know, if you just try hard enough, you can get whatever you want. But then we pray, God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done. We pray that, we're giving up control, right? God, whatever you want, your will be done. God, whatever your reign and your rule should want, your will be done. We're saying, let me have all things, let me have nothing, it doesn't matter. That's what we're saying, right? Let me suffer, let me prosper, lay me aside, I don't care. God, I'm at your disposal. I'm not mine anymore. I belong to the King who purchased my life. And we see here, this is what's sometimes in theological terms called the upside down of the kingdom of God. It's called the upside down nature of God's kingdom. Because God's kingdom operates in ways very different than our world. And we see this all over the Bible. For example, Jesus says, it's not a popular sermon on Christian TV, Jesus says, if you want to have a great life, you lose your life. What? If you want your best life now, give it away. If you try to hold on and protect it and care for it, you're going to lose it. Like, what? Jeez, that's kind of weird. That's like not going to sell many books. What's the upside down nature of God's kingdom, right? You want to save your life, you lose it. You try to protect it, you're going to lose it. But if you give it away, oh, it's the upside down nature of God's kingdom. And that happens here in the Lord's Prayer. God, I want your will to be done. God, I yield to your will. Comes before, give me. Give me. Give me. I would say we shouldn't be praying about provision and stuff until we're praying, God, let your will be done. I think the order is very important here. So there's these two overarching themes, if you will, about God's kingdom. And the kingdom of God, it's already here. Praise God, amen. Let's pray like it. Let's live like it. The kingdom of God is not yet fully here. The already not yet of God's kingdom. And as well as the kingdom of God operates so different than the ways of the world. It's upside down. It's upside down compared to the ways of the world. And these two natures of God's kingdom, it has a radical effect on our everyday lives. Can you start to see? It's a radical effect on our everyday lives. Let me try to give you some practical ways at this prayer. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth, how it kind of makes a practical impact on our lives. Now, for example, I've been asked and prompted before many times to pray for healing for the sick. You know, Keith, would you pray for me? Or Keith, go pray for that person. Those kind of promptings. I've had that happen a lot. I've prayed for people and I've seen people healed. I've prayed for the same person now for 4 years to have a healing in their kidney. It's not happened yet. And in both situations, the foundation of my prayer is this, what Jesus taught me to pray. So, if someone is sick and I feel prompted to pray for them, I want to show you how Jesus' prayer will help you pray for them. And I don't want this to be theoretical. I don't want this to be theoretical. I want this to be like a practical message. So I need someone who's sick or hurting. We're just going to do this. I want to explain to you what it looks like. So who here has got an ailment, is sick, who's frustrated, who's could be anything? Just come on, be bold. I see some wives hitting some husbands. I saw that over there. Yeah, come back. Come on up. Come on up. Your hands up, or you're just praising me? Okay. Yeah, come on up. She'd be like, come on, or she could be like, it's me. All right, come on up. I want to explain to you guys just how may your kingdom come, your will be done, works with prayer. And what is your name? Lynn Joyce. Everyone say hi, Lynn Joyce. Hi, Lynn Joyce. Lynn Joyce, so I just say, is anyone here sick, right? And Lynn Joyce goes, yep. I have something's wrong. So I'm going, okay. And Joyce, first off, welcome. I don't know if we actually formally, we've met a few times in like passing hall, but like, I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm really glad you're here. So what's going on in life?
My back.
Your back. What's going on with your, like, just kind of?
No.
Epidural shots.
Because I can't. I get to a point where I can walk so far, or I can stand, and then I have to sit down. So I'm not getting things accomplished like I need to. And I'm a school bus driver, and I can sit, but.
But sitting hurts after a while, too.
Well,
in the back, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not as bad as standing, but I need to work for the summer, and I'm not really able to go out and shoot.
Now, I'm going to do the fishbowl thing here. I'm going to kind of like having a conversation. I would pray for Lynn Joyce, but I'm also just going to kind of stop and say, hold on a second, like talk to you guys. So just, it's going to be weird. I'm listening to the Spirit right now. What is the Spirit saying? What things jump out at me, right? And also, by the way, I don't pray with women one-on-one. I just don't. So I need someone else to come up here and pray, one of the elders or wives. Or Kathy, why don't you come on up there? I'll just do that way. Kathy's going to come up. Because I don't pray with women one-on-one. It's my quirky thing. I don't drive with women one-on-one unless it's my wife or my daughter. And so just welcome to my quirky world. I'm Keith.
Amen. I
like I'm a pretty quirky. So Kathy's going to come up. So Lynn Joyce, how long has this pain been happening?
December.
Okay, so it's somewhat new, but for 6 months of back pain, that feels like eternity, doesn't it? Okay. So I'm listening to the Spirit right now. Let's pray for Lynn Joyce. Holy Spirit, would you show us how to pray? God, you're a good Father. You're a good God. I know you love Lynn Joyce. I don't know her walk with you. I don't know her experience with you. I don't know her story that well, but I know you. I know your love for Lynn Joyce and your heart for Lynn Joyce and your pursuit of her is so strong and good. God, I pray that your kingdom would come over her. I pray that your will would be done, God. We do a quick time out here. You can keep praying if you want, but just, I got to say something here. Sometimes you'll see people when they're doing healing prayer, Lord, I pray, and they'll get all big and like theatric. I believe God's powerful. I don't need to get theatric on here, okay? You know what? Like, I'm just going to pray. Like, I'm sorry for interrupting in the middle of prayer. I know it's like you're killing the mood, Keith. I don't think God cares about the mood either, by the way. Like, I'm just praying. I'm not going to be, like, I think God can do this. I don't have to, like, work up a big thing here, okay? Just want to point that out. God, thank you for Lynn Joyce. Thank you for giving me grace to be a quirky pastor. God, would your kingdom come? Where your reign and your rule is present. Would your will be done. And God, I believe you're a good God. I know you're a good God. I've experienced your goodness. I know you don't want your children in pain. So would you bring a healing to Lynn Joyce? Would your will? I know that one day your scripture says you'll have a perfectly new, grand, old body. I look forward to that day for myself. That's your kingdom. When your kingdom comes, we get new bodies. We get resurrected bodies. I pray that would happen now for her. Right now in her back, God, I pray that you would just move up by the power of your Spirit a healing hand over her, and her back would release tension that where there's bone on bone, it would just be space where there needs to be regeneration of cartilage. It would happen, God. I pray that your kingdom come and your will be done in her back right now, God. You'd bring a healing work, a mighty work. Now, I'm going to ask like a really deep theological question of Lynn Joyce. You ready? You ready for this? Do you feel anything?
No.
No. Okay. No. You're fine. I'm asking you to be honest. So where's it hurt? In like your lower back? Or is it okay if I were to just touch your lower back? Okay. You can say no, by the way, too. You always ask before you put your hand on someone. Just kind of like, can you imagine like just, hey. God, I just do pray, though, for her lower back. I pray that you would continue to move. God, I pray that your kingdom would come. If there's anything that's keeping her from this healing, God, I pray that you would identify that. If it's powerful force of evil in the heavenly realms, that you would drive them out, God. You would move. Bring your kingdom, God. I also pray whatever Lynn Joyce is to learn from this, because you, Romans says you use everything for your glory. I pray that you would open her eyes and the friends around her to teach her what she's supposed to learn in this season. And as Paul wrote, he learned so much by the thorn in his side. I pray that you would also use this to bring about your kingdom. Use this to bring about your will to form Lynn Joyce more to your image, God. I want to pray one more time boldly for kingdom come and for healing. Thank you for your daughter, my sister, my new friend. I pray that as we journey together, we'd have more chances to pray for her and to heal her, bring, pray for healing and to see your kingdom come in her life and through her life. In your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to keep praying for you.
Thank you.
All right, Joyce. You can give her a clap because it's she is, to come up is a pretty big deal. Thank you.
Thank you,
Joyce. I'll tell you, when I was thinking like there'd be a wheelchair and they'd get up and walk and we'd have her, you know, but God does what he wants to do. And we'll talk in a few weeks about evil, the power of evil and all that. But by the way, this prayer is not just from people who are sick, by the way. Praying that God's kingdom would come in its fullness and his perfect will be done, it impacts all parts of life, doesn't it? It impacts how we pray about everything. It's not just sickness. For example, when you pray, God's will be done, it's not just for other people as well. It has to be central for how you pray for yourself. How I pray about my own life first. I mean, I can't pray for God to fix the world if I'm unwilling for him to first fix me. I can't pray for God to bring justice and equality and love to the nations if I'm not willing to have my own life in alignment with his will, with his kingdom. So what would it mean for me to pray, God, may your kingdom come and your will be done in my life? What would it mean to have the kingdom come where you work and how you work? What it means for God's will to be done for your life relationally? I mean, maybe you're in a relationship that you know is not honoring God. You know the relationship isn't God's will, and you ought to stop, but the truth is you haven't been willing to stop it. So here's the time to be real, right? And I want to challenge you. If like you're in like maybe a relationship, you're going, this is not a healthy thing. You should pray, all right, God, would your will be done in my life, in this relationship? Your will be done, not mine. Your will be done with my children. Your will be done with my marriage. Your will be done with my friendships. Your will be done with my career. Your will be done with that relationship I should probably end. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom invade my relationships. It's a prayer you can pray. What it means for you to pray financially, God, bring your kingdom. God, I want your will to be done in my life financially. It might involve a sacrifice. I don't know. I know we all face financial challenges, but to pray, God, your will be done in my finances is a pretty bold prayer. We all need to honestly pray, God, bring your kingdom more and more and more into my life. God, may your kingdom come to the people in my relational world. May your kingdom come to my children, the people I work with, in my neighborhood, in my friends, in my enemies. God, would you bring your kingdom to my enemies? Would you bring your perfect reign, your perfect rule to my enemies? Would you bring your kingdom to the people I should love more, but I don't? I mean, can you see how this prayer can guide so much? There's power in this prayer. I mean, I read the news or I hear the news and I pray, oh God, would you bring your kingdom? I mean, you hear the news. I pray for God's kingdom to come. You hear of another shooting or a beheading or crazy stuff and you say, God, bring your kingdom. God, I want to ask us to really commit as a church body to pray that God's kingdom would come. Pray that God's will would be done in our lives, in the lives of our church, in the lives of people around our church, for our city, for our country, for this world that God loves so much. And I just want to remind you guys, this is not like a nice religious prayer. This is a dangerous prayer. This is a in the middle of battle, in the trenches kind of prayer. I mean, if we earnestly pray, God, would your kingdom come, it's going to be stretching. Please do not pray this prayer if you're looking for a nice, comfortable life. Okay? I want to close with this. Maybe this will help you understand what I mean by that. Jesus prayed this prayer once, didn't he? Think about Jesus. He's nearing the end of the life. He knows the cross is coming. He knows he's about to be arrested, beaten, and killed. So he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And he cries out to God the Father. He goes, Father, is there any way out of this? That's what he says, right? Is there any other way to bring your kingdom apart from the cross? I'm so scared. So scared. And God says, no. If the good news of God's kingdom, if my kingdom's going to break in, the cross is the way it happens. What does Jesus do? He's scared. He's real scared. He's sweating blood. And he goes, what? What does he say? God, thy will be done. God, your will be done. I mean, Jesus submitted and surrendered to God's will. He triumphed by losing his life. It's upside down. He triumphed by losing his life for the greater cause of God's kingdom. He triumphed by submitting to the Father. Folks, when we pray, God, have your way, your will be done, that's when we're set free and that's when we're truly following God. I mean, look. Look at what Jesus did for you and me. Look at what he did. Look at the sacrifice on the cross. Look at what was bearing down on him. Look at what it cost him to say, God the Father, your will be done. It's a big prayer. It makes me want to respond like, Jesus, if you can pray this prayer and mean that, I can certainly pray. And if you can pray in those circumstances, thy will be done. You can pray in that circumstance of the cross, your will be done. Then in light of my circumstances, I know I can pray this as well and mean it, right? So at this point, we're just going to continue to pray. We're going to come to the communion table and we're going to sing some more songs. We come to this table. And when you come this morning, I want us to really remember, we're coming to the table because 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed, God, your will be done. And the will of the Father was, we need to pay for the sins of the world. And so his son was already there. That was the whole plan. And so he said, all right, go to the cross. And so he died for us in our place, for our sin. His will that he would die to take our sins upon him. That was the will of God, that our sins could be wiped clean, that the punishment that we deserve, the wages of our sin, have been paid. Praise God, the power of God is so powerful. He resurrected from the dead, so we see there's real power now. He's reigning, his kingdom's alive. It's not a dead kingdom, it's a reigning kingdom. Do you see how important the resurrection is? If he didn't resurrect from the dead, it's a dead king and a dead kingdom. He rose from the dead, he's reigning at the right hand of the Father. But because of that, we can't go see his body. Right? That's the nature of resurrection. And so we have this thing called communion that we celebrate here every week where we say, oh, his body, his blood broken for us and shed for us. And we put it in ourselves to remind us, his kingdom in us and his kingdom through us. The only power we have is by him working in us and him working through us and him compelling us. So we come to this table each week saying, God, Jesus, it's by your death, it's by your life, it's by your resurrection. We have hope. Rule us. Work in us. Your kingdom come in me and through me. It's the way we do communion each week. I want to encourage you, and when you prepare your heart, just come down the center aisles into the front. Go back on the sides. There's one station in the back. You're welcome to go there as well. We're going to sing some more songs about God's kingdom coming. So we believe that's what we're supposed to pray. And part of singing together is we're corporately praying, so we just stand up. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing some songs. We'll do communion. And if you need prayer for anything, I will be in the back ready to pray for you. I'm serious. There'll be some elders there who will pray the kingdom come in your life. If you are in bondage from some kind of sin, I want to pray for you. If you are in bondage by a sickness, we want to pray for you. If you're in bondage by relational strife, we want to pray for you. If you're in bondage because of what your family of origin did decades ago, I want to pray for you. We want to pray God's kingdom would come and his will be done in your life right now. I'll be available in the back to pray for you. Holy Spirit, come. I know that this is somewhat of a theological message, somewhat of a practical message. I pray that your kingdom would come now and move in this room. God, when your reign and your rule is presence, there's healing, there's power, there's reconciliation. And God, your scripture says where two or three are gathered, you're here. And so your kingdom's here. And we acknowledge it. And we're so thankful for it. God, I also know I've got friends in this room who are still hurting and broken and the kingdom's not yet fully here. So I pray for them. God, I pray for their strength. I pray for their healing. I pray for their spirit. I pray for their energy. I pray that your kingdom would come more and more and more. You'd break in by the power of your kingdom. And God, I pray that as we come to the table, we celebrate your kingdom and your work. And God, I pray that if people are stirred, they'd come for prayer. I pray that people would not be timid about prayer. They'd just come and get prayed for. May your kingdom come and will be done here this morning. In your name, Jesus, amen.